Welcome to the Beyond Sunday podcast, where we are looking at and exploring how to bring faith beyond services on Sunday mornings into our lives, into every aspect of our lives. That's what we're looking at, right?
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah,
great. All right, I'm here as always with Pastor David.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
And Katie.
Hello.
Hi, Katie.
Hi.
And I am Patrick Nazaroff, and we are all work together on church together, and so we are here just to kind of discuss these things.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to take a little bit of a look at kind of how we form our spiritual identity, how kind of these things, basically who in our world is telling us who we are. And this is a topic we approach often with our young people here at church. Mm-hmm. We want to go over how they are formed and shaped by Christ, and that's the most important aspect in their life of telling them who they are,
mm-hmm.
much more so than their social media and their grades,
mm-hmm.
their popularity, all these things.
Athletics.
Yeah, athletics. Yeah, are not coming into the picture. So as we look at this in context of our teenagers, let me ask you guys, as adults, how does this kind of come into play, you know, for adults?
Yeah, I mean, even as adults, we have things trying to claim our lives, claim our identity every day. I mean, you know, are you defined by the job that you have? Are you defined by the house that you live in or the community that you live in? The type of car that you drive? Are you defined by having a family or not having a family?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know for a lot of women especially, I don't know, men might feel this too. I did not feel this particularly, but some might. You know, you get to a certain age, and if you don't have a family, then what does that say about
mm-hmm.
you? And
mm-hmm.
well, what are you hiding? You
know,
so,
sure.
And so that's there's always something that's trying to claim us.
And I think too, I mean, even for me personally, when I had children,
mm-hmm.
They became my identity.
Sure.
It was very hard for me. I struggled, and I still think to this day I still struggle sometimes
mm-hmm.
with, like, I'm Shane and Shelby's mom,
yeah.
and I do everything for them. So still keeping who I am and what I like to do and what provides a passion for me, and to still be able to pursue that
mm-hmm.
even while being a mom,
yeah,
can be tricky, I think, for some women.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I recently read this article by 538, which is kind of an affiliate of ESPN, but they delve more into kind of statistics or analysis or things like that that are unrelated to the sports world, or mostly unrelated to the
yeah.
sports world. And they were going over this study that followed people for 6 years about their identity. It was kind of about these things. They
okay.
they formed their identity kind of in four areas: their political identity, their gender identity, or their sexual identity,
mm-hmm.
their racial identity, and their religious identity.
Mm.
Those are the things that they kind of measured.
Okay.
And then they measured the same people over 6 years, and they determined or saw that their political identity would stay a constant, but the other three aspects of their identity were shifting and changing. And so the people who identified as Republican at the beginning, over time, were more likely to start to identify as white, straight, Christian
mm-hmm.
over time. And the people who identified as Democrat at the beginning were more likely over time to start identifying as non-white, non-straight, non-Christian. And this is obviously, it's just a, you know, one study. It's
sure.
not necessarily fact, but they were, based on this, they were surmising that right now, in today's culture, we're mostly getting our identity from our political leanings
mm-hmm.
and not from our sexual orientation or gender or our religion, kind of our race or religion, kind of
yeah.
these other aspects.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that, this idea that right now your political identity is shaping the other aspects of who you are and where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, I think I started to really experience that probably back in the 2012 election, when President Obama was running for his second term in office. I was in seminary at the time, so it was just, you know, my cultural awareness was particularly acute to that. And I was working in a church in Colorado, and even there at a church that did did incredible ministry and that I really found valuable. And, you know, there are people on all sides of the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
and at that point is the first time that I started to witness this divide of, well, I'm a Republican, and so I have to stay over here and talk to this group of people,
sure.
or I, you know, plan to vote for the president to reelect him, and I'm going to sit on this side of the room and talk to this group of people. And all of a sudden, it's like, we are missing the fact that you are coming to this building because you share an identity, except you come into this building and you're identifying yourselves by these other factors that are outside of your life.
Sure.
So I think it's only gotten stronger since that time and more vehement in the disagreement between the two sides.
Well, I think it's in our face.
Yeah.
All the time. Sure. It doesn't matter if you open up a web browser on your phone, or if you open a web browser on your computer, or you turn on the TV.
Yeah.
It is everywhere.
Sure, absolutely.
Political, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Just the how fast it's coming at you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it is. It's being put into our DNA
right.
now, just because it's in front of us all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen kids, you know, middle school, high schoolers, realizing that their parents have a certain political affiliation and feeling like they can't talk to another child who has parents who have a different political affiliation.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way that, like, I hear stories about, like, the 1960s and 70s of kids saying, well, I can't talk to you because you're black,
sure.
or I can't talk to you because you're from that side of the tracks, right?
Sure.
This is, now, I can't talk to you because your parents are Republican, or I can't talk to you because your parents are a Democrat, whatever it
yeah.
might be. It goes both ways, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, for me, the root of it is that we've decided as individuals and as a culture that the political party that we affiliate with should be the primary thing that identifies us.
Yeah.
That should be the thing that we hold most closely, that we that unifies us with others most importantly.
Yeah,
and that's concerning for me. Sorry.
Yeah, and I think that's really what we want to get at right now, is this idea of, like, and maybe for you personally listening, like, political identity is not really that big of a deal. But what are these factors coming in that are helping shape your Christian identity?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that should be, as church workers, we desire that should be the overriding factor overall, that your Christian identity is shaping other aspects of who you are.
Right.
But now we're seeing that your religious identity is being pushed to the background.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of pushed aside, and it only works when it supports these other aspects of who you are and what you're going. And then if it doesn't support those other aspects of who you are, it's kind of irrelevant, and we just kind of get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that comes from, and Kay, you were mentioning, like, the political atmosphere is so prevalent. On my Facebook right now, I can guarantee within a few posts, you can find some aspect of discussing politics in our world. But it would be harder to find aspects to discuss religion or theology, or how does Christ working in our lives in a personal way. That would be much harder. And in a sense, like, I know, like, years ago, this idea of, like, in good company, you shouldn't talk about politics and religion.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've kind of said, in good company, you shouldn't talk about religion.
Mm-hmm.
Politics are okay in good company, but now religion
because
should not.
Because the good company is all going to agree with you.
Right.
Yeah.
If you're in good company, they're all agree with you.
Sure.
I think that's an important.
Sure.
Yeah. That's what we define as good company now.
Sure. So, and I think this kind of led to a discussion that we were having earlier, this idea of our Christian church is kind of no longer the center of kind of the social structure of how we kind of do things.
Right.
You know, it's no longer, we obviously go to church on Sunday mornings because that's where the people are. And we're obviously engaged in Christian lifestyle because that's kind of how our culture is kind of pointing us towards. Now, the average church member who would say is a committed church member is coming once a month to church. And they're here for 1 hour. And that's kind of what we got. 1 hour a month for the consistent church member, you know, and versus all the other hours in that month, and I'm not going to do that math, that are not focused in on that, or that are, that's kind of pushed more towards the background.
A lot more hours than one, whatever the math
is. Yeah, at least 10, you know.
At least, minimum.
Yeah.
It's probably in February. That's probably about right.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, you know, when I was in South Carolina, we had a woman who was talking to me, and she was very concerned at how, at this very problem, she was very concerned that parents were not bringing kids to Sunday school and to youth group in the evenings and things like that. And this was a ongoing problem for this particular congregation, but she was very concerned about it. And so in conversation with her, I started asking, you know, well, what would you expect it to be like? And she shared with me that she grew up in a small town outside of Columbia, South Carolina. And when she was growing up in the, you know, 50s, if you wanted to do anything on a Sunday afternoon, if you wanted to go out to dinner, if you wanted to hang out with your friends, if you wanted to see other people outside of your family, you went to church.
Sure.
Because there wasn't a movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
There weren't sports teams that she could go and play on. There wasn't a restaurant that we could go and get 18 different types of food in one place, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that did not exist for her. And so the option was, hey, let's get together at church. Yeah. And so that's what everybody did because why wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, sure. They were looking for social connection the same way we're looking for social connection mm-hmm. now, except that now we have such a myriad of opportunities for that mm-hmm. social connection that we don't have to go to church
sure.
to get it.
Yeah.
I think there are valid reasons to go to church. Let's be clear about right. that. But we don't have to go to church just to fill that particular mm-hmm. void.
Yeah, it was easier when we were the only game in town.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When the choice was, am I going to go to the Methodist church or the Lutheran church? It was yeah. a whole lot easier than, am I going to go to soccer? Am I going to go to my kid's dance recital? Am I going to go to a church event? Mm-hmm. Am I going to go to this other church event that has better music or that has a mm-hmm. pastor that I like more?
Sure.
You know, it's all up in the air now.
Yeah. And I think, too, I don't know that, you know, sometimes we look at that and go, oh, that's really bad. But is it? I mean, I don't know that those opportunities and those myriads of different things are mm-hmm. bad.
No.
But I think it raises the question, what are we doing the rest of those hours of the month to allow faith to still be a big part of our lives sure. outside of the church building?
Yeah.
So what are things that we're doing at home, or what are things that we're doing when we're out with our friends, or mm. whatever it may be?
Yeah,
I think it does us no good as a Christian community to like shake our fists at our culture and our world and say, like, you guys need to go back to the way things used to be
mm-hmm.
to help us.
Right.
You know, that's not going to lead us anywhere. And I think we're all definitely seeing that there's opportunities for community outside of our mm-hmm. That was kind of what we're most selling a long time. It was like, this is where you get community, fellowship. Mm-hmm. And now that's just no longer the case. Like, we're not the only game in town.
Yeah.
You know, there's other aspects. I did a year and a half of improv lessons here in Houston where I performed every month on stage doing improv comedy. And I loved it. It was a lot of fun. And what I saw is the people that were coming to these classes and this program were forming their own community.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to what a small group or a youth group or, you know, a church group would look like. They were invested in each other's lives. They were sharing, you know, experiencing together. They were serving with one another. It was the same aspects that we say, this is why you should come to church. They're getting the similar experience by coming to improv.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we can't just rely on or expect that is a good enough draw anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the selling point. It's just not going to be there. And so, Katie, you were saying, then we kind of as Christians or as families or whoever's listening need to find a way to take these aspects of faith into all those other hours beyond Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we formulate faith outside of, well, Sunday morning experience?
Because mm-hmm.
that's just a lesser, you know, it's just not as important experience mm-hmm. anymore. So what do we do?
Good question.
Give us some wisdom, Katie.
You've got 30 seconds.
Okay. I think God and faith has to be a part of your everyday language and has to be a part of your everyday mm-hmm. culture, especially with kids, which is where, you know, I specialize in the children's ministry department, mm-hmm. so that's where I'm going to lead here. I know Rich Melheim has a book, Holding Your Family Together, that I'm a huge fan of. Anybody who's talked to me knows that because I just talk about it all the time. And in that book, he focuses on the Faith Five, which are five things you can do as a family. And it doesn't matter what age your kids are. Of course, things are easier to start when they're younger, so that it's easier as they get older. They know, you know, what's happening. And there's five steps to that. And it's very, very easy, very simple. It's not... you know, you're just talking with your kids. So the first one is just to share your highs and lows of the day or the week or, you know, however often you do this. The goal is to do it every night in every home. But we know that life is busy mm-hmm. and it might not be every night.
Sure.
It might be twice a week. It might be once a week. But just making solid connections as a family. Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's involved. Everybody's talking. Mm-hmm. So the first step is to share your highs and lows. The second step is to read. And reading could be what the gospel lesson is for that week. It could be pick a Bible story,
mm-hmm.
And read the same thing every night for a week, because mm-hmm. depending on your mood, where you're coming from, It's going to sound different to mm-hmm. you. It's not necessarily going to sound the same every single time. Sure. You're going to hear something different. And the third one is to talk. So you're going to mm-hmm. kind of, how does that story relate to our lives? How does it relate to our highs and lows that we just shared? Mm-hmm. And then you're going to pray for each other's highs and lows, and then you're going to bless each other, mm-hmm. Which could be as simple as just laying your hand on a shoulder and Jesus loves you, mm-hmm. Or it can be more elaborate. But it really just leaves a place for everybody to just share what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think if the more you do it, the more it just becomes a check-in. And
what I love about this process is that it is pulling us back to that identity conversation. You know, we're showing our kids every night, this is the thing that matters most, mm-hmm. is this knowledge that you have a God who has claimed you, mm-hmm. That you are loved, you are cared for, and this is central to who you are. This is, you know, there's no other stuff. We're not, the last thing before bed is not going to be talk about the baseball game or about the test that's coming up or the girlfriend or whatever it is that you're struggling. Those are all important conversations to have, but the last thing before bed mm-hmm. every night is going to be a reminder that you are loved by God, mm-hmm. and this faith matters, and it has a claim on your life. And so it pulls us back to that conversation we started this with, right? Mm-hmm. That we want our kids, and we want each of us to have our identity rooted in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That before we identify as anything else, we identify as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can already hear through the speakers that are listening to this kind of a tensing up of like, right. And the question that I think most people are going to have to this is like, I don't really feel prepared or capable of doing this because I have never seen this modeled by my own parents. Mm-hmm. We've never done this as a couple. I've never done this on my own. And now I'm supposed to go to my children and teach them things that I don't know the answers to. So what do you say to that, Katie? Like, how do you respond to that kind of questioning of like, I don't feel like I'm ready for this?
We are actually piloting this right now. I think there are resources people can use at our church. I mean, mm-hmm. go talk to pastors if you have questions. I'm available if you're here or, you know, if you want to reach out to me, I'm available to help. I think, too, you'd be surprised. Like, I know people sometimes are like, I can't do this. You'd be surprised if you just did it, what would happen?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you just start it, like, your kids are going to say stuff that might take you aback, like, oh my gosh, like, they're kind of taking ownership and leading this some, mm-hmm. too. I've noticed that with my kids. And to be honest, I don't have all the answers either. Mm-hmm. No, I don't know that anyone really does.
Yeah.
Patrick does. That's
clearly,
why he's here.
Yeah. Clearly, yeah. Patrick has
a leader. He's our source of all wisdom.
Right. But I think if you just try it and see what happens sometimes, that works, too. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be perfect, and it doesn't have to be scripted, and it can be whatever it turns out. I know it kind of sounds like just, mm-hmm. you know, it's just whatever, but it really does turn. And the more you do it, mm-hmm. and the more you talk and you do this together, things mm-hmm. just start to happen. It's kind of, it works. It's kind of crazy, but it works.
And there are lots of additional resources. I mean, it's not like Lord of Life is the first place to do this. Rich Melheim has been doing this across the country for a number of years at this point. So there are lots of resources. You can Google Faith 5 or Faith Incubators is mm-hmm. the overarching organization. You can find all sorts of resources there. But I think Katie's point, you know, it's practice, right? Mm-hmm. It's picking up the Bible and trying it. Mm-hmm. And saying to your kids, I don't know, let's ask someone. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. an important thing for kids to know, too, that you don't have to know all the answers as an mm-hmm. adult. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to mm-hmm. Think that you know everything already. You can be in a process of learning.
And I think of it, too, the same way I think of prayer, especially, mm-hmm. you know, good old Lutherans, you know, us praying. It's kind of like, oh, I can't pray out loud. Yeah. I don't know how in front of people. You know.
Sure.
But again, it's practice. And the mm-hmm. more you do mm-hmm. it, the more you become comfortable with mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah.
And I think that goes along the same lines.
Yeah, I think from what I'm hearing and what I gather myself is like this idea of like, it's okay to fail at this. Mm-hmm. It's okay mm-hmm. to have a kid ask a question you don't know the answer to. It's okay to read a Bible story that you're questioning yourself. Mm-hmm. You're like, I'm not sure how I connect to this, what this means to me. Sometimes it's okay to pray and have it be a bad prayer, mm-hmm. in a sense. Have it be a jumbled mess. Mm-hmm. Because those are all valuable. Mm-hmm. Even in those things are valuable. And I think maybe part of that comes in our identity, that we don't want to have an identity of like, I don't want to explore something I'm unsure of. Mm-hmm. Mm. And that comes, you know, sometimes working with kids, like they don't want to try things mm-hmm. that are new and hard.
Yeah.
And so as a parent, you're also modeling that for your kids. If you're asking your kids to try things that are new and hard, but you yourself are unwilling to try things that are new and hard, then what are you really showing your kids? Like mm-hmm. you're really showing them a lot mm-hmm. in those aspects. You're reading Rich Milheim's book. I'm reading a book called Growing Young. Mm-hmm. It's about churches, how to support their youth and young people within churches. And they argue a very similar thing. Based on their research, they followed kids from high school into college to see like what makes faith last, basically. Mm-hmm. How does faith go from high school into the college atmosphere where there's no longer parent, youth director, mm-hmm. yeah. home church.
Oh, yeah.
What are the things that we can do now for them? And they said, you know, for kids, like they need five adults in their lives who care about their mm-hmm. faith, basically. Five adults. And so that means more than mom and dad. There has to be other adults entering the picture. And then this really unique one came to the practice. They said kids whose faith lasts are kids who talked about faith at home. Mm-hmm. And they even kind of really made sure that said, it doesn't even matter the context of the conversation or what the conversation is about. It just that it happens. Mm-hmm. That's all that matters. Or that's not all that matters, but that is a big, big factor here, is having the conversation at home.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I think that's a valuable thing that we can say, like, for parents, if, like, it is tough maybe mm-hmm. to get your kids up on Sunday morning or you have other things, but if you're not able to come on Sunday mornings or to youth group or to small group, that there are options to mm-hmm. having those conversations at home, mm-hmm. even if they're weird, equals something far better and greater than, well, leaving it up to the professionals mm-hmm. once a month.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think too, I mean, as parents, even just as adults, right, even if you don't have kids, we still have to figure out how our identity is calling us to live into the faith, right? And yeah. so what steps do you need to take for yourself to say, Christ is going to have the claim over my life, mm-hmm. not my job, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to define myself first by what company I work for, the position mm-hmm. that I hold, or the title that comes after my name. I'm going to define myself first by someone who mm-hmm. follows Jesus, and then I'm going to be the best follower of Jesus that I can be in my mm-hmm. profession, in my family life, in my mm-hmm. In my driving around through traffic, mm-hmm. whatever it might be, right? And,
sure.
And that, I don't know what that looks like for each person, but I think that that's the switch of the question is, how do I become the best follower of Jesus that I can be, rather than how do I fit following Jesus into my mm-hmm. schedule?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, from my perspective of working with kind of youth, working with adults, sometimes the people that are most resistant, or this is the hardest for, are not Christians that are just coming into faith.
Yeah.
Because they're understanding, I don't know everything. Mm-hmm. And so they're more open to a world of possibilities. But this can be most difficult for those that have grown up within mm-hmm. the church, and that this is something new.
Yeah.
You know, that this is something different. This is not how they experienced faith when they were young. And so they have a mindset of, it worked just fine for me.
Right.
Why wouldn't mm-hmm. it work for the next generation doing it the old way? Or doing it the way it was when I grew up, where we went to church and then that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. So how do you overcome this obstacle of a more resistant, faithful group of people? Mm-hmm. Not a resistance of, I don't know the answers, but a resistance of, that's not how I did it before.
Mm. You know, I think for a lot of people, that's a choice that they're going to make. You hear, it's not this week, I think it's next week's gospel reading in Mark, the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, you know, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus lists off some commandments, and the guy says, I've done all of those since I was a kid. And Jesus says, well, sell everything you have and give it to the poor.
Sure.
And the guy walks away. It's like, he's sad and he's disappointed, but he walks away. And, you know, Jesus does not chase after him mm-hmm. to make it more comfortable or to make it easy. Some people are going to walk away mm-hmm. and say, that's not the path I want to follow. Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a path that allows us to have a deeper understanding of faith mm-hmm. in our own life. I don't know. I'll pass it off to Katie. Yeah.
Oh, geez. I agree. I think that is, sometimes you do have to make the choice. Like, this is just what I'm going to do mm-hmm. or it's not. I think now we live, in a world where information, especially, and I'm thinking of just family units with children, that information is coming so fast, and I want to be able to be the person for my kids, like, to take time out of that world of this information that gets inundated on, mm-hmm. like, constant, to say, okay, let's take a step back and we want a foundation for our kids mm-hmm. that is built on, you know, this is who you are in Christ. I want to have those conversations with mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. I want them to grow up knowing who they are, and whose they are.
Sure.
I don't know.
So, you know, Shane plays baseball, mm-hmm. right? You know, I'm sure he's probably already had a loss of some sort mm-hmm. in that, but at some point he's going to come home brokenhearted because he lost mm-hmm. a tournament, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that's an opportunity for a faith conversation. Mm-hmm. Say, you know, losing is hard, but this does not define who you are.
Right.
Right. I do not remember having that conversation with my parents as a kid. Mm-hmm. And my parents were incredibly faithful. You mm-hmm. know, we were at church every Sunday. They mm-hmm. were on council, did the whole nine yards. But that was not the framework that we had that conversation mm-hmm. in. And so I hope that that's a conversation that I can have with Sophia as she's getting earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's not even the big drastic changes that we make, but just mm-hmm. looking for the little opportunities to bring faith into our life, to remind ourselves and our kids and those around us, you know, this is not the world that we live for. Mm-hmm. You know, take your pick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Christian before I am in anything, or I don't even necessarily want to say it. I'm a Christian at this point. I'm a follower of Jesus, mm-hmm. I think, before yeah. I'm anything else, sure. right? That is the first call on my life. Mm-hmm. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a follower mm-hmm. of Jesus. Before I'm a husband, I'm a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that's a weird and nebulous place because, I mean, like you mentioned earlier, Katie, you have kids and suddenly you're like, this defines me. Mm-hmm. I'm a parent. Mm-hmm. I have, and it should be. Everything should be mm-hmm. revolving around your kids in that moment. And yet, our identity is still centered in mm-hmm. I take care of this child because I want to be the best follower of Christ mm-hmm. that I can be in my role as a parent.
Yeah, there's a great C.S. Lewis quote that I'm probably going to butcher here a little bit.
I love it.
But he kind of says that if the message of Jesus Christ is true, it is the most important thing in this world. And if it is false, it is the least important mm-hmm. thing in this world. The one thing it cannot be is mildly important. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think oftentimes Christians can live mm-hmm. like this is a mildly important mm-hmm. part of my life. I like it. Mm-hmm. It's important. But it is not that overarching thing that shapes my political identity, my racial identity, mm-hmm. my sexual identity. It's not the one that shapes the others. Mm-hmm. It's just added in for flavor. And I think that is hard. That's hard for us as sometimes church workers or when we approach people to work with people who Christianity is important, but it's not that important. You know, like they like it, but it's not transformative. Right. And I think that's a hard line to walk.
Yeah.
You know, that's a hard, how do you get people from, I like it, but it has not transformed the way my life is shaped.
Yeah. You know, there is very little risk in the culture in which we live in the United States. There's very little risk to standing up and saying, I'm a Christian.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And in countries and in cultures where that is a risk, I think that you see a deeper understanding of what this kind of process means, of what it means to be rooted in an identity in Christ. But when we can stand up and with very little repercussions identify ourselves as Christian or not, you know, it's just almost too easy.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And when it's that easy, then well, why do I need to invest more? Why do I need to make it harder?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I already did it.
Sure.
I said mm-hmm. I'm a Christian. What else am I, you know, mm-hmm. why do I need to make it more of mm-hmm. a thing? Because there's not that, I don't even want to say threat, but I think you know what I'm trying to get at. There's not
sure.
that
yeah.
Anxiety around that.
Yeah. That dead air means like we're exploring this space too, that we don't have yeah. necessarily the answers of how to get, whether that's children, whether mm-hmm. that's youth, whether that's families, whether that's 80-year-olds, to realize that a plateau in faith is not the goal. It's not the goal to reach a place where you're like, well, I'm done.
I'm good.
You know, like yep. I have grown to the level that I am comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's to find ways to make us more uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
in growth. And I think that is going to happen, whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Our life will be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. that there will be things that'll happen that'll shake us to the core. And it's important that that core then is founded on something good and something strong.
Yeah.
Because a plateaued faith, how you deal with cancer, how you deal with a death, or how you deal with divorce, or a child who is going through a life-threatening illnesses.
Right.
Where are you falling back on? Where are you relying on in that moment?
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately your true identity will be revealed, mm-hmm. how you mm-hmm. fully do that. And hopefully, for all of us, that identity is founded and rooted in Jesus and being a follower of Jesus, like right. you said, Pastor David.
Yeah, I mean, think of all the other things that can lay claim on our lives, and all of them can and will fail us.
Yeah.
Right? You could lose the job. Mm-hmm. You could have a career-ending injury as an athlete. You could have a stroke if you're defined by your mental capacity or whatever it is that you, I don't know, by being smart, whatever that might look like. But, you know, all of these things happen all the time.
Sure.
You know, and not even just as a pastor do I see this, but we see this just in our culture. Our political party can fail us. Mm-hmm. You know, all of these things can happen. So the one thing that we know, that we believe, is that Jesus Christ will never fail us.
Yeah.
And everything else can go to waste, right? You know, the economy can go into the tank. The world can fall apart. I could be shot in the street tomorrow, but Jesus Christ will not fail me, mm-hmm. nor will he fail my wife or my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm going to die tomorrow, I want them to know that Jesus Christ is not going to fail them either. Even mm-hmm. if I'm dead, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ does not fail them.
Yeah. Yeah, I was processing these kind of faithful five things that you mentioned, Katie, and mm-hmm. I can't imagine any family or any person or any couple or wherever you are in life delving into those faithful five things and at the end of a month being like, man, my life is worse because I did these things.
I hope not.
man, look at all the things I did and wow, ruined everything. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I just can't imagine that. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine us saying like, man, when I started to pray every day, my life got worse.
Right.
Now my life might change. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My dreams might change. My goals might change. But I can't imagine what's walking away being like, it ruined who I was.
Right.
And so all that those things can do is make our family systems better, is make our faith lives better, mm-hmm. is make our identity better. Mm-hmm. That's all that they can do is make good things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that shouldn't be something we could be afraid of or mm-hmm. not desire, because it's a desire for something good in our families, in our lives, and this is a way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way to get there, but it's a good way to start. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, since we're on butchering C.S. Lewis quotes, I'm going to add my own.
Yeah. He's a good guy to butcher quotes.
Right.
From.
Yeah. He's dead. What's he going to do about it?
Yeah.
In Chronicles of Narnia, there's a quote about Aslan, who's kind of the Christ figure of
sure.
the story. And the kids say, you know, is Aslan safe? And I think it's Mr. Beaver is responding at yeah. this time and says, no, you know, Aslan, of course, he's not safe, but he's good. And I think that's important for us, too, that as we enter this process, as we dive deeper into our faith, we're going to realize that it's not always safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might be troubled waters before we get to the calm mm-hmm. on the other side. You might delve into this and you might realize just how messed up your family system has been.
Sure.
And say, man, my spouse and I have not had a real conversation in 3 years
mm-hmm.
and we've
yeah.
got all sorts of pent up stuff that we haven't dealt with. You know, sure. that might come out because of this kind of mm-hmm. thing, and that's going to be rocky and messy, but it is going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the important thing for us to realize that mm-hmm. It's not going to be an overnight change, and it might even seem like in a month, maybe things do seem worse in that sense. Mm-hmm. But I think if we hold on through that process, it's what makes it valuable for us.
Mm-hmm.
There we are.
There we are. All right, so any other thoughts here as we kind of wrap things up?
I'm good.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I think we should identify ourselves as Christians on our driver's license. Sure. I'm just kidding. That's not a real thing. We shouldn't do that. But
yeah. Well, you can wear a cross necklace. That's usually, you know, they'll know we are Christians by our t-shirts, by our jewelry. Yes.
We'll make a song. You know, that's an interesting thing about being a pastor is wearing the clerical collar. You know, this is part of our tradition as Lutherans is that we occasionally wear the black shirt with the little white collar. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes I get mistaken for a Catholic priest. That's a pretty common misconception.
Sure.
And then they see the wedding ring and they're very confused. But there's an automatic identity that comes with that. And sometimes it's really helpful. You know, it gets me into the hospital when I need to go see somebody very quickly. But other times it's an interesting thing to experience.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Tales for another time.
Tales for another time.
All right.
Tales from the Clerical Collar.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You can start your own podcast. Yeah. All right. Thanks for joining us on our great conversation about identity and how we find those things. A new thing, again, we are talking about on our podcast is recommendations. And this week, Katie is giving us a recommendation. So, Katie, what do you have for us this week?
I do. I have, I encourage everyone to get Holding Your Family Together, which is the book that I referenced. And it is by Rich Melheim.
Okay. Can you spell that last name? It's a funky one.
M-E-L-H-E-I-M. Melheim.
Go. There you go. Holding Your Family Together.
Available at all your greatest book-selling things. All your greatest book-selling things.
We're not allowed to mention them by name because then we'd have to pay them. So, right. You know, find your books.
They should be paying us.
They should be, but that's not how it works. So with that, we hope you're enjoying the podcast. You can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can leave a comment there for us. You can find all our newest episodes to check back for new content. Eventually, exclusive content will be coming to the website.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not happening yet, but it'll happen. You can also find us on Facebook at Beyond Sunday Podcast Facebook page and on Instagram at Beyond_Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can follow us in all of those places. You can find our episodes on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. We don't have to pay them.
Yes.
Nope. Yep, that is a free gift to the world. So if you have any other comments that you want to let us know, or if you are willing to rate and review us, we would love to have that too. So get in touch and we'll hear from you soon.
Now, do we have an email address that they can email in stuff?
We do. Thank you for reminding me, Patrick.
You're welcome.
We have an email address. Yes. It is beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Send us in any questions or ideas you have.
Absolutely.
And
yep.
We will gladly talk about them on air.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we will read all of them.
We will gladly, anything you send us, we will talk about.
Okay, Patrick is throwing down the gauntlet.
Maybe, or maybe not on the podcast.
There you go.
All right, thank you for listening.
Have a great day.